Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Welcome to the day before Thanksgiving episode of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and I'm kind of under the impression I'm going to be rolling solo again today. So if you'd like to call in and help me out, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to shoot us an email, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Now, anything else you need or you're looking for, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, there was a new blog that popped up over there today. So swing on by, take a look at it, leave a comment, good, bad, indifferent, however you feel. Just head on over there and check it out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, if you follow that link, it'll take you over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. And you know the deal. You went all the way over there. You might as well give the Facebook page a like. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can also find me on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time. That's Burketime. And now, we were kind of talking about it a little bit yesterday. You know, Stephen Motz had mentioned that he wanted to make a decision before Thanksgiving, and he made that decision today. And I was a little surprised by where he ended up signing. He signed a four-year, $44 million deal to join the St. Louis Cardinals. The deal can actually go as high as $48 million, but it's officially 4 years and $44 million. So Motz will join that Cardinal rotation that I believe did need at least one starter, maybe two. Let me quickly jump in here and see if I can figure out what the Cardinals rotation is besides Stephen Motz and Adam Wainwright. I know Carlos Martinez is a free agent, and so is it Byung Kim? Is their other free agent? So I'm not quite sure how, you know, I mean, they have some talent, so I'm sure they, you know, they'll fill within and do the things that the Cardinals like to do, but obviously adding Motz is a really big deal. I completely forgot about Jack Flaherty because he was injured for quite a bit of the season. And then you can add in Dakota Hudson and hopefully Miles Mikolas. If he can come back from injury, because he's had a couple rough years, so that's what it looks like right now. There has been some talk of possibly Alex Reyes or Jordan Hicks joining the rotation. Now, you know, Reyes was their main closer last season. I know Giovanni Gallegos also got some closing opportunities. And Hicks was the guy they were looking at as the closer because he throws 100 miles an hour, but he has some arm trouble. So, you know, so maybe the Cardinals aren't looking to add another starter. Maybe they're not looking to add at all now, you know, as that was kind of the move they needed to make. So we'll have to see how that plays out and how that works out. But yeah, Stephen Motz to the Cardinals, 4 years, $44 million is what he lands. So he said he was going to make a decision before Thanksgiving, and obviously he made it. So, you know, we'll have to see if he can continue to pitch like he did last year for the Blue Jays. I know the report where it was that the Blue Jays offered 3 years. So he took the extra year from the Cardinals and went with four. The Mets were apparently, allegedly, very disappointed by the fact that that Motz signed with the Cardinals, and their owner actually put out some tweets. So that was kind of interesting. I don't follow him on Twitter, so I don't know what he said, but apparently Motz actually replied. So they had a little bit of a back and forth going on there, and we'll have to see how that goes if he pitches against them next year. So, and now we didn't have any other signings today, believe it or not, but we did have one retirement of a actual closer who won a World Series. Wade Davis announced his retirement today. Now, Davis is 36 years old. He pitched 12 full years at the major league level and parts of another one. He started out with the Tampa Bay Rays before he headed over to the Kansas City Royals, where he won that World Series back in 2015. He was the Cubs closer in 2017 before moving on to the Colorado Rockies for 3 years, and then last year he finished up with the Royals. For his career, he was 63-55 with a 3.94 ERA. He appeared in 557 games and actually made 88 starts there with two complete games and a shutout. But in his career, he picked up 141 saves and actually led the National League in saves with 43 back in 2018 for the Rockies. So, he had a really solid career, more so as a closer. He did have a couple years as a starter in Tampa Bay where he won 12 games and 11 games. But once he got into the bullpen, it seemed like he really hit his groove. And, the year the Royals won the World Series, he was 8-1 with a .094 ERA and 17 saves. So he put together a big year for them. Actually finished sixth in the Cy Young voting that year. So yeah, definitely, like I said, kind of hit his groove as a closer. And he had the 40 save season. He had the 30 plus save season with the Cubs. He wasn't the Royals' main guy. The Royals were using Greg Holland. While Davis was working out of the bullpen. So it took him a little while to take over as the main closer there. But a nice solid career. He's going to wrap it up here. He was dinged up a little bit in 2020 with Colorado, only pitched in 5 games, struggled a little bit last year with the Royals, even though he did pitch in 40 games. His numbers weren't fantastic. So he's going to wrap it up and move on, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, he definitely had a very good career. Nobody's going to scoff at the numbers he put up. While he's not what you would call a Hall of Famer, he was definitely a very good closer at one point in time. So nothing to sneeze at there. So. We shall see, but let's go ahead and jump ahead a day because Thanksgiving is not only a day to get together with your family and overeat and do all those kind of things, but it's also a day that is dominated by the NFL as they have 3 games scheduled for tomorrow. Back in the day, it used to just be 2, but they added a 3rd game, so. All 3 of the networks that have contracts with them, or I should say 3 out of the 4 networks that have contracts with them, get the televised games. The first game is scheduled to kick off at 11:30. That features the Chicago Bears at the Detroit Tigers. We were talking baseball and I went Tigers. Detroit Lions. That game is followed by the Las Vegas Raiders at the Dallas Cowboys. That game is scheduled to kick off at 3:30. And then the nightcap has the Buffalo Bills at the New Orleans Saints. That's a 7:20 kickoff time. The Bears-Lions game will be on Fox. The Raiders-Cowboys game is the CBS game, and then the Bills-Saints game is on NBC. So we have some pretty, I don't want to say interesting matchups because you do have to kind of wonder how these things are going to shake out. You know, the Lions are looking for their first win, and it does appear that they will have Jared Goff back. All the reports are leaning that he is going to play tomorrow. And the Bears are starting Andy Dalton, and they have a little bit of a what you would call a coaching issue. You know, the reports that Matt Nagy, the Bears' current head coach, would be fired after this game against the Lions. Nagy, it was reported today that Nagy actually met with the Bears management today. There's been no report otherwise on how that will shake out, so we'll have to just kind of see how it plays out. But you've got to kind of assume that there's going to be some turmoil and some questions there about just how it's going to be, and you wonder if maybe the Lions will find a way to get their first win. You know, currently the Bears are a 3-point favorite, and the over-under on the game is 41.5. So we'll see how that kind of shakes out, but it's going to be kind of an odd game, you know, with Andy Dalton under center and, you know, the way things go. And you wouldn't expect Matt Nagy to change his offense. So we'll see how that plays out. You know, and then we get to the second game where, you know, the Cowboys have been rolling. And a lot of people think they could be the team to come out of the NFC. You know, they're 7-3 and 4-1 at home. While the Raiders are 5-5 and 2-2 away from home, but you know Dallas is going to be without Amari Cooper again, and CeeDee Lamb is questionable. Remember, he went into concussion protocol, so you know it's possible Dallas could. You know they're going to be going into this game without their number one wide receiver for sure. It's possible they may go into this game with both of their top two wide receivers out. So, you know, that could have a little bit of an effect on their offense. And, you know, Ezekiel Elliott has been a bit dinged up. So we'll have to see what he can give them tomorrow. So it's possible that, you know, the Cowboys could run into some issues there. But even with that being said, they are a 7.5-point favorite in this game. And the over-under for it is 51.5. So that is definitely kind of interesting. We'll have to see how it shakes out and who ends up playing for the Cowboys. But yeah, it looks like everybody's leaning very heavily on the Cowboys. And then of course the nightcap, you know, features the Saints at home, where they're usually tougher to play, but they're 2-2 at home this year, 5-5 overall. While the Bills are 6-4 and 3-2 on the road, but the Bills have been struggling lately. So you have to kind of wonder if that's going to continue. You know, the Saints are supposed to get Alvin Kamara back, or no, it's being reported here that he will miss his third straight game, and Mark Ingram is listed as questionable. So that could be really interesting on the offensive side. Plus, the Saints are going to be without probably their best pass rusher in Marcus Davenport. So that will be interesting. They should have Taysom Hill at full speed. So it's possible he could kind of resume that role of, you know, quarterback, tight end, running back, that role that he, you know, he has filled so often for them. You know, he was unable to do that last week. I want to look and see if they have him listed on the injury report. I'm sure he is. It's just a matter, you know, because last week he did suit up. He just didn't play. But you would have to think with another, even though it's a short week, with another week of rest, he should be in a a little better condition and could possibly play. And it does not look like he is listed on the injury report. Yeah, I do not see him. So you have to think he's full go. The other injury the Saints suffered was tight end Adam Trautman landed on IR. So they're in a definitely a rougher spot here with some injuries. Especially to some key players. The only, I believe, key player the Bills will be missing tomorrow will be Star Latuahi, as he's out with COVID-19. So, other than that, all the basis of their players should be full bore and ready to go. So you would think that would give Buffalo a slight advantage, and they are a 6-point favorite in this game, and the over-under for it is 45.5. You would think, looking at things, they would be easy games to pick. You would take the Bears to keep the Lions winless, the Cowboys to beat the Raiders, and then the Bills to beat the Saints with all the Saints injuries. But, the NFL has been a little strange these last few weeks, so you got to kind of wonder if that's how things are going to actually play out. It's just been so weird how it works out. But, I don't know if that's how you're picking games or how you're rolling. Maybe you're doing well, and that's just kind of how it goes. So we'll have to see how they play tomorrow and, just kind of how it is. And I did mention yesterday, I talked a little bit about the Houston Texans waiving Philip Lindsay. He was actually claimed by the Miami Dolphins, so he will be joining the Dolphins. I just wanted to throw that out there. It was finally reported, and I believed he actually showed this to reporters on the interview, but Aaron Rodgers says his toe is fractured. And yes, he did stick his bare foot up in front of the camera to clear up what they described as COVID toe disinformation. I'm not quite sure what a COVID toe is, but apparently there were some reports that's what Rodgers had. That is not true. He has a fractured toe that he suffered at a workout at his home actually while he was preparing to return. But he will continue to play with the fractured toe. We'll just have to see if or how much of an issue it becomes. So, he played okay. Obviously it's going to affect his movement a little bit, but he seemed to play okay last week. And we'll just see if he can continue. It's a little tougher matchup this week against the Rams and their defense. So who knows? We're just going to have to kind of keep track and see how he is. And, hopefully he will be fine and manage to get over it. So, but yeah, I don't know if you were concerned with how that was or if that was going to work out, but yeah, apparently, like I said, he is okay. Well, not okay, but he's only got a fractured toe, nothing to do with his COVID-19 recovery. So, there you go. But, the NFL, while baseball, we talked a little bit about it yesterday, their Hall of Fame class, the first timers, the NFL have revealed their 26, what they call semi-finalists. For the Hall of Fame, let me see if I can find the list here. It does say they have 7 first-year eligible players: Antoine Bolden, Andre Johnson, Steve Smith, Devin Hester, Robert Mathis, Vince Woolfolk, and DeMarcus Ware. Let's see, the finalists will be revealed in January. So we will find out there who makes it. Yeah, here's the full list. We got Eric Allen, Jared Allen, Willie Anderson, Rondé Barber, Bolden, Tony Baselli, Leroy Butler, Eddie George, Hester, Torrey Holt, Johnson, Robert Mathis, Sam Mills, Richard Seymour, Smith, who I mentioned, Steve Tasker, Fred Taylor, Zach Thomas, Hines Ward, DeMarcus Ware, Ricky Waters, Reggie Wayne, Will Folk, Patrick Willis, Darren Woodson, and Bryant Young. So there you go. Those are the finalists, or the semi-finalists. That will be narrowed down to 15 finalists who will also join what is described as the modern era finalists. That's senior finalist Cliff Branch, contributing finalist Art McNally, and coach finalist Dick Vermeil. So, yeah, that the NFL has their Hall of Fame kind of selections and stuff going on, just like baseball. You know, baseball mentioned their first-timers yesterday and released their ballot, and the NFL is just doing the same. So, we'll just kind of have to see how it goes and if your favorite player makes it. And obviously, there are a lot of quality names on that list, but I would love to see Devin Hester get in. You know, he's the greatest return man in the history of the NFL, and I definitely believe there is a spot for him in the Hall of Fame. I don't know if he's a first ballot guy, but there's definitely a spot for him there. Somewhere down the line, I think he deserves to get in. You can't tell me he doesn't have the criteria. I mean, he's got everything you need to change a game. So, and you just wonder, how it changed the way teams played. Because they did everything they could to not kick him the football. So we shall see. But let's jump in and take a look at the schedules for the National Hockey League and then the National Basketball Association for tonight. And maybe you can find something to watch the day before Thanksgiving. The NHL has a pretty full schedule here. We have the Boston Bruins at the Buffalo Sabres. The Philadelphia Flyers at the Florida Panthers, the Minnesota Wild at the New Jersey Devils, the Vancouver Canucks at the Pittsburgh Penguins. That game's actually available on NHL.net. The Montreal Canadiens at the Washington Capitals, the Winnipeg Jets at the Columbus Blue Jackets, the St. Louis Blues at the Detroit Red Wings. The New York Rangers are at the New York Islanders in that new building the Islanders just opened up. The Las Vegas Golden Knights are at the Nashville Predators. The Anaheim Ducks are at the Colorado Avalanche. The Edmonton Oilers are at the Arizona Coyotes. The TNT game tonight has the Toronto Maple Leafs at the Los Angeles Kings. We have the Carolina Panthers at the Seattle Kraken, and the night wraps up with the Ottawa Senators at the San Jose Sharks. Now, all those games, with the exception of the Canucks and the Penguins and the Maple Leafs and the Kings, are available on the ESPN Plus app. So if you have that, you will have your choice of hockey games. If you are interested in watching some hockey tonight and you have the ESPN Plus app, jump on and see what you want to watch. So yeah, that'll be a big plus. Now, I did see, if you're a fantasy hockey player or if you're just a fan of the Tampa Bay Lightning, that Braden Point is expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks with an injury. He's definitely one of their top players, so it's going to be interesting, and being that it's the NHL, the deal. It's with an upper body injury. They don't say much, but he was playing on their top line, and it does mention that he was injured in Saturday's loss at home to the New Jersey Devils, and he didn't play against the Minnesota Wild on Sunday. So, Point does have 7 goals and 6 assists, and he eats up about 20 minutes of ice time a game. So that's going to be a little bit difficult for Tampa Bay to replace, but you know, it's still early in the season, so they you know, they should be even able to weather the storm if it's, you know, a month or if it's a month and a half. And I want to check where they are. They are currently third in the Atlantic Division with 25 points. They're 11-4-3. Only 4 points behind the Florida Panthers, who are leading the division with 29 points. Just in case you're curious, the other division leaders are the Carolina Hurricanes and the Metropolitan. That's the Eastern Conference. Over in the Western Conference, Minnesota leads a very tight division with 23 points. St. Louis and Winnipeg are just 1 point behind, and Nashville is two behind. That's the Western Conference Central Division. In the Pacific, it's the Calgary Flames with 29 points that are leading that division. So there you go. There's a little quick catch-up on your National Hockey League stuff. And then over in the NBA tonight, we have, oh, a pretty full schedule here, too. The Phoenix Suns are at the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Los Angeles Lakers are at the Indiana Pacers, and LeBron James will be back for that game after his one-game suspension. The Charlotte Hornets are at the Orlando Magic. The first game on ESPN is the Brooklyn Nets at the Boston Celtics. The Chicago Bulls are at the Houston Rockets. The Toronto Raptors are at the Memphis Grizzlies. The Detroit Pistons are at the Milwaukee Bucks. The Miami Heat are at the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Washington Wizards are at the New Orleans Pelicans. The Utah Jazz are at the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Atlanta Hawks are at the San Antonio Spurs. The second game on ESPN tonight has the Philadelphia 76ers at the Golden State Warriors. And the night in the NBA wraps up with the Portland Trail Blazers at the Sacramento Kings. So there's your night in the NBA. You get a couple ESPN games if you're interested in checking things out that way. And, you know, while we're looking at things, you know, standing-wise, the conference leaders over in the NBA, the Brooklyn Nets have a one-game lead over the Miami Heat and the Chicago Bulls in the Eastern Conference. The Nets are 13-5, so that means the Heat and the Bulls are 12-6. In the Western Conference, it's the Golden State Warriors who are 15-2 to put them on top. But believe it or not, the Phoenix Suns are only a game behind them at 14-3. So that's really tight. And I know if you're wondering about the Lakers, well, they're under 500 at 9-10. And you know, just kind of one of those things. So obviously it's early and things can straighten out very quickly. So there's no need to panic if your team is struggling because they have so much time to bounce back. It's not even funny. So yeah. Just kind of how it goes. Yeah. So we shall see. But yeah, I did hear somebody really backing the Suns today saying that, I believe it was Kendrick Perkins, saying that they don't get enough respect. And, you know, they did go to the finals last year. And for whatever reason, people just kind of seem to overlook them. And, you know, the Warriors are off to a very good start, but, you know, the Suns are right there. But yet, you know, you want to talk about the Lakers, you want to talk about the Clippers. And I guess it's just because they're in LA and, well, Phoenix is in Arizona, that they're not kind of getting the love they want. Yeah. So we'll have to kind of see how it goes. But now Schomburg Stu was asking me about the Bulls and the Rockets game. Now obviously the Rockets are terrible. They are 1-16, but they did get that win at home where they are tonight. The Bulls are 12-6, like I mentioned earlier, and 6-3 on the road. And if you're a betting man, you'd have to lay 9.5 points if you like the Bulls. So the Bulls have won three of their, you know, their last four, while the Rockets have dropped at least five in a row. Could be more. I'll have to check on that. If you'd like to bet the over/under, it's 217 for the game tonight. So we'll have to see how that goes. And obviously, John Wall won't be playing for the Rockets tonight because it looks like he's not going to play at all this year. And the Rockets are currently on a, wow, I'm going to have to count this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, my screen jumped. All right, now we got to start over. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 game losing streak. Holy cow. So, yeah, I don't even know what to tell you if you're a Rockets fan. That is just rough. Yeah, there's no other way to really describe that at all except rough. So we'll have to see if maybe they can find a way to pull off a big upset and pick up a win tonight. I believe they are relatively healthy. Christian Wood is their leading scorer. He averages 15.5 points a game. Jalen Green, their top draft pick, averages 14.2. And, you know, part of the reason they didn't want, or they not don't care if John Wall plays, is they want to develop their younger players. So we'll have to see if that works out for them. Wood also leads their team in rebounding with 11.1 points per game. But, yeah, they are healthy. Wall is the only guy listed as being out. So we'll have to kind of see how it goes for them. And, again, maybe they could find a win. They stumble into a win tonight. I don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, again, you never know. It's just one of those oddities that, you know, the NBA seems to go through. There's always a team that is tanking, as they say. So, and it appears that this is the Rockets' year to tank, and I'm sure they won't be the only team. There will be other teams that end up in that area. So, you know, just the way it goes. You know, there's nothing you can do. But they did throw out some power rankings here. And, you know, the Bulls are a hot topic in Chicago. So let's see where ESPN has them ranked. The Warriors are number one with the Suns number two. The Nets are three. And the Bulls actually roll in at four. So, that's pretty interesting. The Utah Jazz are five. The Miami Heat are six. The Washington Wizards are seven. The Denver Nuggets are eight, excuse me. The Milwaukee Bucks come in at nine, and then the Dallas Mavericks round out the top ten. So there's your NBA top ten power rankings according to ESPN. That was a couple days ago, so I don't believe they issue it every day, but what could be possible here is the Warriors may get even stronger as Klay Thompson is back and now participating in full practices. I don't believe they have set a date for his return, so we'll have to kind of see. Yeah, Steve Kerr actually said that we don't have a target date. What we have is a number of weeks ahead of us for certain where we're going to play it out, keep letting him scrimmage as often as possible so that he'll build up that endurance. And I would think within a few weeks we'll be able to finally sort of get a target date, but we don't have one right now. So there you go. So look for the Warriors to be able to add Klay Thompson back very soon and get another shooter, at least you would think, right? That would be his, as long as he returns to being Klay Thompson. So we'll have to see how it goes. But all right, well, like always, since it's just me, I'm going to cut out of here a little bit early. I do want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving before I hit the music. Don't eat too much and be safe. You know, especially if you're traveling, be safe. And let's hit some music here. While I'm gone, get the music on.
follow there. Follow that link over to Facebook page. Hey, you know, go ahead and give that a like. You went over there.
Don't forget
to give it a
free note
to me on Twitter as well. I'm at
Bob,
that may be 5 minutes.